A new man at the top. What changes does that mean for new Piper aircraft? This is Aero News for Tuesday, October 18th, 2005. I'm Senior Editor Pete Combs. Chuck Suma joined Piper Aircraft 30 years ago as a riveter. He rose through the ranks and into the front office, eventually becoming president and chief executive officer of the company, which is based in Vero Beach, Florida. Chuck was popular with the media and, by all accounts, popular with the close-knit, family-style workforce at Piper. So you can imagine it was a big shock to everyone who knows the company when Suma was suddenly removed from his post by Piper's board of directors. He was replaced with James Bass. The 48-year-old former president and CEO of a Phoenix electronics company called Suntron. Even now, almost a month after the big change at the top, a lot of folks are asking, who is this guy? And what's he going to do with Piper? One of those asking was our own editor-in-chief, Jim Campbell, who put that question and many more to the new man at the controls of an iconic aircraft company.
I've had over 25 years of engineering and manufacturing experience in a lot of high technology businesses, and most of that experience was oriented towards avionics or aerospace. I've built jet engines for General Electric, avionics packages, black boxes, flight proximity sensors, ground proximity sensors, collision avoidance systems, flight computers, and so it appears that my career has always been either on the periphery or actually building airplanes or airplane parts. So I think my background has really almost dramatically led me to this point, and I have the experiences and expertise to really take on the challenges of this role at this time.
When this position was first proffered, what were your thoughts, what were your inclinations at the time? What brought you to the decision to say, yes, this is what I want to do?
I've always had a passion for flight, and I've always loved airplanes. But more importantly, the Piper name carries with it an incredible legacy of one of the greatest American airplane manufacturing companies in history. And it has been the choice plane. And I believe it has a gloried past, and it's destined to even have a better future. So the thing that really excited me is the potential of this opportunity. Piper has had some difficulties in the past with hurricanes and other natural disasters that have really challenged the company and its people. And I think they've responded with just an outstanding reaction to adversity. And it speaks to the people here. And I think it also speaks to the strength of the product.
It was amazing, having surveyed the damage that was done, how far you've come in that time. And we had the chance to speak to a lot of your workers who were just putting in, overtime on top of overtime to not only support the company, but to support their workers. And one thing that was pretty obvious to us is that there really was a Piper spirit. And that's certainly something that just speaks very well for the company. You don't see that. A company's been in place for a long time, that either, usually comes and goes, but it's still very much in evidence here.
People bleed Piper in this company, and that they are unbelievable. They have a tremendous commitment and loyalty to the company's success. The amount of experience and expertise is not to be found anywhere else. And that's throughout the ranks in virtually every area. And it's just simply amazing to me that we can actually, with significantly less capacity in terms of floor space actually produce more airplanes this year than we did before the hurricane. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, in terms of a result, speaks to the skills of the people and their dedication to the company.
There is no question that Piper enjoys a phenomenal heritage, and for many years was one of the three pivotal companies that comprised what everybody knew conventionally as general aviation. The problem is that was then. This is now. How do you position Piper for the future with, you know, building on a heritage and let's face it, a tremendous amount of owner loyalty? You're one of the few companies that has that they can really, besides at this point, Mooney and Cessna, and to a lesser extent, Raytheon/Beechcraft. That's quite an advantage. But is that something you build upon at this point in the same way, or do you really start changing up your modus operandi from here on out?
Legacy can offer a dichotomy of strengths and also potential weaknesses. From a strength standpoint, I think we're known as a highly reliable, high quality, well engineered plane that is able to transition pilots as they gain expertise and experience from one model to the other. From a problem standpoint, when you have such a tremendous amount of legacy, there's also costs associated with legacy and also issues with sometimes when you have inbred cost in terms of tooling and fixturing and the way you've done things, it's sometimes harder to adapt and grow into new ways. And I think as we move forward, you're right, we are facing a highly competitive field. The good news is that this is an industry that does have competitors, and that is good for everybody because it makes the entire industry be more competitive and more customer-friendly and more innovative. And to that last point, I really believe what drives our industry is product innovation. And in our industry, I think what really excites and makes the market grow is continually adapting and bringing in new technology that make airplanes safer, more reliable, more user-friendly, and able to perform at higher and higher levels. And because of that, I think we're bringing in new people into the general aviation market, as well as enticing and growing pilots who are out there and want to step up into higher performance airplanes.
In regards to how that affects your current product line, let's talk about it generally. What does the future hold for your product line in general, and then we'll talk about some specific aspects of the product line.
We're continuing to extend the all-glass cockpit into our product lines. Additionally, we're looking at re-engining some of the models that we currently have in play. And we're looking at a number of other features as enhancements. We typically don't talk in terms of exact specifics in terms of the introduction of those products or their timing or technical characteristics. But in general, we're looking to enhance the performance and upgrade our features as we implement new technology.
Let's start with the basic single engine line. The PA-28 series enjoys a phenomenal heritage, but the PA-28s of today, per se, sure don't look like the PA-28s that dead foot, especially from cockpit on forward. What do you see right now for your entry-level market?
Well, it appears everybody wants to go higher, faster, and lighter. So in terms of the way we are looking at our product innovation, we're trying to answer the needs of our customers by providing faster airplanes that can move at higher altitudes, but at the same time encompass avionics packages that can help pilots learn faster faster and have more capabilities to reduce pilot workload. We are also looking and always look at our product lineup to make sure that at each point in our product lineup, we're competitive with the outside market. And so that's a continual process, and it continues to evolve. And it depends upon both internal and external sensitivities to what we're looking at in terms of how we enter the market at each one of those points that we have a product.
Do you envision any renewed interest in the training market? You've done very well in institutional sales, one of the few other companies that's logged any major volume per se with the organized flight school or collegiate flight school market. But you know, since the days of the Tomahawk and so forth and so on, there really hasn't been a dedicated trainer in quite some time. Might we see something like that from Piper in the future?
Just to mention on fleet sales remain an absolutely critical component of our growth strategy. And fleet sales are something that we really want to see a part of our business to expand and grow even further than what it currently is. As you know, Piper is the plane of choice in terms of many, many fleet sales operators, and people get their initial experience and training with Piper airplanes, and we want to continue that legacy. As far as trainers go, it's an area that we're continuing to look into, and obviously that's something that we have to date nothing definitive on, but we hope to look at that market as a means of stepping up people into higher performing airplanes.
Mm-hmm. Have you looked at the light sport aircraft regs as an entry level of any kind? I realize that you carry actually a disadvantage from the standpoint of all the infrastructure you've built to support a normal certified product, but and under light sport aircraft, a lot of the constraints that you would normally have are gone, but at the same time you're still supporting a factory and everything that goes with a factory. But are you looking at that potentially as an entry level to either trainer or, for that matter, your upgrade market?
We've not entertained that kind of product entry at this point.
Might we see any other weather capability or alternate weather capabilities added to either the Seminole, or might we expect any changes in the anti-icing or de-icing capabilities in Seneca?
I think in terms of our product features, we typically are not going to announce specifics as far as what we're going to be doing, both from the standpoint that it one creates expectations, and we want to make sure we do our due diligence before we absolutely go to press with an enhancement. And then secondly, from a competitive standpoint, we generally don't like to talk about the exact features that we might be enhancing. But I think you should feel confident that we will be continuing to evolve, adapt, and enhance our airplanes to include more technology to make the plane easier, better, and more capable.
The Malibu and Meridian product line evolved very nicely. As a matter of fact, our flight in the Meridian at Oshkosh was a real eye-opener, not just, let's face it, have a nice big turbine up front is always fun, but what was very impressive to me in and amongst the swarm at Oshkosh and being, sucked in behind a tri-pacer and an RB4 climbing up our backside is the fact that we're sitting there at 70 knots and flying just fine. Low speed on the airplane, low speed performance and handling of the airplane have been improved dramatically. Speaks well for the evolution of the line. What might we see with your pressurized singles at this point, both recip and turbine? Obviously, you've made some announcements on cockpits and the Avedon cockpit and the Meridians.
Yeah, we just feel that the Meridian line hits a sweet spot in the market right now, and we're really proud of our high-performance airplane. And we think that it's the right plane at the right time with the right features. and you know, speaking more of that, the Meridian, it has the performance of a Ferrari, and it's got the reliability of a Hummer. I mean, the thing will just keep on going and going, and it's properly engined. It's got a sweet avionics package, and more than that, it's just a fun plane to fly that looks great. And we just see that it is the plane to have right now. And we're you know, our sales are doing very, very well in the Meridian line. As far as enhancements go, as far as you know, pressurized planes, and we are looking at re-engining and some planes to go higher and faster. I can't mention any specifics now, but it's something to stay tuned for. We see it as a natural evolution to give customers what they want.
You've mentioned re-engineering a couple times now, which gives rise to the ultimate question: how aggressive are your thoughts about re-engineering in regards to what kind of power plants? We're now seeing diesels on the market. We're seeing a number of others being proposed, and quite a few actually well into certification protocols. Is Piper willing to look at alternative power plants?
You know, we absolutely are, and as it relates to different fuel combinations, we have studied different fuel combinations. What we found in some cases, sometimes alternate fuels are difficult to get, particularly at remote airports that may not be full service. So we are definitely looking at alternatives, but I think it would be safe to say that right now we don't anticipate any dramatic changes in that area.
Have you been looking at the new generation of diesels?
We have.
What do you think so far?
Book is still out. Don't know yet.
Okay. How about FADEC?
Without getting into too many details, that's something that we are very, very interested in, and we will certainly be talking more about that in the near future.
All right. One of the obvious questions that comes up, and it's one I probably ask every time I'm around here, is especially in light of an encroaching VLJ market, when will we see a Piper jet?
We absolutely believe that the developments in the VLJ market are very, very exciting. We think that given our history of building airplanes, that we're the natural choice to kind of go into that market, but we're not exactly sure of what the right configuration is, mm-hmm. or exactly who the customer or market might be to support that. And that's something that we're still studying. The VLJ market obviously would require significant investment, and we're looking into the dynamics of how to do that profitably, but also at the same time what it would mean to us from a design standpoint. We definitely feel that we have the manufacturing and expertise to enter into that market in a way that we think would definitely give us an advantage over many of our competitors today. However, I also think that we need to make sure we understand the market, who the intended customer is, and that there is a strong financial and economic return in making that kind of investment.
Is Piper more likely, when it comes to jet, interested in starting with a clean sheet of paper, or might you be interested in partnership or acquisition?
A little bit of both. I see the VLJ market as an opportunity to enhance and develop some of the best features of our current design, but at the same time, there may be elements which could be better served by looking at partnerships with other design or manufacturing companies that are interested in this market. I definitely think that the industry will see some of that type of participation amongst different companies who can share in both the costs and the risks as well as the upside benefit.
In the meantime, how do you position your high-end product line against the alleged availability come first or actually second quarter of next year with $1.2 to $1.3 million VLJs?
Well, that's certainly been the advertised cost as well as the product introduction timing. I think that remains to be seen if we're going to see people actually hit that price point. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing people have to consider is what the overall service cost is, and that includes the price of insurance, the price of maintenance, the price of fuel, as well as the training requirements to get into a jet like that. So I think there are other dynamics here that are at play that are going to influence how well or how quickly that market takes off.
Speaking of training, it boggles the mind that we're still killing pilots the same old way, day after day after day. And even with the introduction of exotic, in some cases, technologies, a la chutes on airplanes, vis-a-vis the Cirrus program, and also which will be going on the Symphony as well, people are still smacking tall objects, still flying into weather they're not capable of flying into, still taking off over Gross, still doing the same old really dumb pilot tricks that we've done all along. There have been some aggressive efforts on the part of certain manufacturers who have been clobbered by accident rates that didn't seem to be representative of the technology. How do you propose that Piper fight the current trend of same old, especially considering the fact that we now have cockpits filled with what was a few years ago, magic?
I want to note that Piper has one of the best safety records in the industry. I just got off the phone with a customer, a large fleet owner, who told me that in 25 years they've never had a single accident. And have over 700,000 hours on Piper planes without a single accident or fatality. And, you know, we enjoy that kind of reputation because of the type of planes we build and the reliability of our aircraft. And I think safety is always a critical issue that's on the minds of everyone, and if not, should be. And one of the aspects of you that you mentioned, which are critical to that, is proper training, not just adequate training, but proper training. And I think we definitely see oftentimes people doing things with airplanes that they should not be doing. And it's really hard to tell people not to do certain things when they're seem to continually make, as you said, repeated mistakes that historically seem to repeat themselves over and over again. And quite honestly, I don't know that the answer is over-regulation. I think it's a combination of trying to make airplanes that are easier to fly and easier to train on, and we're doing that with the glass cockpit as well as other features. But at the same time, I think there does have to be a recognition by the industry that people are going to have to train more and are also going to have the kind of a background and the kind of experience that enables them to go into the higher performance planes. Everybody, as I said earlier, wants to go faster and higher. Mm-hmm. But when you do that, your risks increase. The faster you go, the faster you can have problems. And consequently, that requires more sophisticated, more expertise on the part of the owner and the user. And I think that's something that we have to emphasize over and over again. But I definitely don't have a magic silver bullet to your answer. I think it's a combination of many different things.
Piper's had some labor issues. No big company can escape the fact that they need good people to produce a good product. But like anything in this day and age, labor issues have been a thorn in the side of many a company, and you've had your highs and your lows. Where do you see Piper's stratagem with the current labor force? What do you see in regards to hiring? and what changes can we expect under your management?
First, let me say that I think our people are our greatest asset. The reason Piper is successful is because of its people. And my number one priority is our people. And I think we enjoy some of the best workers in the industry. I of anything that's happened to me since I've been here in the last 4 weeks, it's been how impressed I am with our workforce. And as far as labor issues, we have a policy of not talking about explicitly our labor issues publicly. That is something that both the bargaining unit and us have agreed not to do. So I want to honor that. I want to honor our commitment to not discuss any of our labor situation publicly. But I will say that I'm very proud of our workforce. We look to grow our workforce here. I don't know if you noticed as you drove into the parking lot, but we have hiring signs plastered at every entrance. We are actively recruiting new people because this business is growing. It's doing good things in the marketplace, and we want to attract people to our company. And we believe that this is a good place to work, and they can join a good family of people that have a tradition second to none, like no other.
Mm-hmm. Your sales outlet is governed through a series of protected dealerships. And you've got a couple of truly exceptional dealers. I work a lot with some of the folks at Southeast Piper who are really a cut above. Do you see any changes, augmentations, or modifications to your dealer network, and what can they expect for the future?
I just met with all of our dealers last week, and they're just an incredible group of people. They're entrepreneurs. They're highly technical people in the sense that they're very familiar with the products and what the technology is. And it was really a joy to meet and see how excited and passionate they are about the business. And I think we have a great group of dealers. And I hope to strengthen and develop the relationship so they'll continue to sell more Piper planes. From my perspective, we always look at how to go to market in the most efficient, effective way to meet our customers' needs. So that's something that's under constant evaluation because ultimately we want to serve our customers. And right now we serve our customers through an extensive dealer network, we will always be looking on how to improve that service to our customers. And right now, our dealers have done an outstanding job. And again, we're looking for ways to create an environment that's going to incentivize the entire market to buy more Piper products.
You're in a tough position with a legacy product, no matter how highly respected, and versus the new kids on the block. Mostly glass, very flashy, very exciting, lots of hype. Some deserve, some not. How do you compete against that right now?
Well, there's I think two parts to that answer. The first is you have to accentuate the historical performance of what we've done, which speaks to the way we think about our product and the way we enter the market and support what we have out in the field. And the second part is through innovation and offering people newer and better products. A company can't rest on its laurels. History is a fine thing, but it doesn't necessarily going forward make you competitive. From my perspective, right now we have 11 models It's a full lineup. It's the only airplane manufacturer in the world that does have a complete lineup. And because of that, we provide pilots the ability to step up and transition from one type of plane to the next. And they can do so in a fairly easily seamless way. And that transitioning power provides, I think, tremendous leverage to us. And that's a leverage that no other manufacturer can boast. And I think that's a significant advantage over some of the other players in the market. You're right, there is a lot of flash, there is a lot of hype, but we are the airplane manufacturer that continues to deliver day after day, week after week.
Come hell or high water.
Come hell or high water. And we just hope that the high water doesn't come again.
Oof. Been a bad year for that, hasn't it? Good grief. Parts and parts support. Any changes on the horizon?
Bigger, better, and more. We intend to expand our entire customer service area. It's an area that I think we need to improve on. I think we have to do a better job of providing overall customer support out in the field in our spare parts as well as our technical support.
Okay. Do you fly at all?
I do fly. In fact, I fly virtually every week, except I'm just typically not in the captain's chair.
Are you a rated pilot?
I am not a rated pilot, okay. But I've always, as I mentioned in the beginning, I've always had a passion for flight. I've been up many times with our test pilots, and I enjoy every trip.
There you go. Got to start logging some duels. You got a couple of good ones.
Yeah, unfortunately, the demands of my job right now have not given me the liberty to spend many hours in a cockpit training. And consequently, I've been a little bit pressed to be able to find the time, given the fact that I'm fairly new and drinking, as you said earlier, from a fire hose, except this one is on at full force. And there's a lot to do, and I'm excited about doing it. And right now, for me, my priority are my people, my customers, and my shareholders.
How concerned is Piper in regards to some external pressures, one being the increasing cost of fuel, and then a regulatory scenario which is looking burdensome in regards to things like the Washington 8 is, the current pending NPRM, the possibility of imposition of an 8 is type scenario on other large metropolitan areas, such as that Mayor Daley has asked for Chicago and has already been discussed for LAX and the Seattle areas. All those would seem to be pretty solid threats to a decent future for GA. How do you look at that?
I think those are issues that affect all of us in the general aviation market. They're not focused or single out any one particular manufacturer, and we are concerned about those issues. They're something that does impact the overall industry, and each one of them have their own nuances. It's hard to talk about those things generally because each one has its own set of issues and oftentimes own set of problems. But I do think that they do tend to overall impact the industry negatively. However, I do think that the industry is beginning to come back and is driven primarily through technological advancements. And I think, unlike perhaps many industries, this industry is really impacted by the rate of advancement in terms of the features as well as the packages that we can put in planes to make it a more exciting, more reliable, safer experience.
You've got the better part of a month under your belt now. Any surprises?
I think that I have been really pleasantly surprised at how tremendous this workforce is, given the troubles that the industry has had, you know, starting with 9/11, engine issues, hurricanes, and so on. I think that the fact that we're here still punching away at this is just, the fortitude of the people is something that's really struck me personally as being almost inspirational. And I come to work with a philosophy that I don't expect people to work for me. I'm here to work for them. And that's the way they make me feel when I see the pride that they put into making every plane.
When your appointment was first announced, the speculation was running rife that one of two things were possible for the future of Piper. One was a significant possibility of outsourcing of all or part of Piper's operations, and the other was repositioning the company for sale. Can you comment on either of those propositions?
My mandate is to grow this company to be bigger and better than it currently is. And I have no intention of moving our factory to Mexico or anywhere else. And I'm moving myself and my family to Vero Beach to make us as successful as we possibly can be. And as far as the sale of the company, we have no intention of selling this company. From my perspective, there will always be in business things that change, and there's no absolutes. However, I'm here for one purpose, and that's to grow this company and make it successful. And as to the future in terms of either outsourcing or sale, right now that's not on my horizon. And it doesn't mean it never will be, but right now my emphasis is to grow this company, and I think we have the products and the people to do that.
How do you look at, from a standpoint of just the Florida aviation climate and community right now, how supportive do you see this state and community of Piper as an entity?
Yeah, it's too early to tell. I've been here 4 weeks, and for me to make any kind of qualified statement after 4 weeks, I think it wouldn't be right. I just haven't been here long enough to make any kind of a qualified statement.
Okay. And that's the question.
Yeah.
When you were handed this assignment, were there any, best way to put this, what were your marching orders? Was there anything specific, or is it kind of a broad mandate at this point?
I don't have any marching orders other than to continue to grow the company and make it successful. And really, the board is looking to me and this management team to run the business in a way that's going to continue the historic legacy and take it to a different and higher and better level.
Okay. What do you see Chuck Suma's role to be for the future?
Yeah, Chuck... has been just an outstanding supporter, and he has been a dedicated, loyal employee for over 30 years. He's an icon in the industry. He has made an enormous amount of contributions to Piper Aircraft, and as such, he will continue on the board of directors. He is serving as the vice chairman of our board of directors, and Chuck and I talk regularly. I rely upon him for his insights and counsel, and I think he's been very, very supportive of this transition.
New Piper Aircraft Company President and CEO James Bass with Aero News Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell. You've been listening to Aero News. I'm Senior Editor Pete Combs. We'll see you at the airport.